Welcome to Because I Want to Know, the podcast where I interview guests about their crazy unique occupations or life experiences. I'm your host, Leslie Fear. So let's get into it, shall we? Hey everyone, today I'm joined with Christina the Medium. She's my friend. And guys, this is our first episode from our weekend house that is now our permanent residence. We've had some audio issues, guys, so I'm just actually recording her from my phone. It's going to sound different, but you're going to be able to hear her just fine. Christina, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Leslie. I'm so glad to be back.
I love you. You know that. We talk all the time, whether you like it or not. And we're out in this beautiful place now. We moved from the big house to the smaller house. And I feel so grounded. I love looking at beautiful wildlife out here. You and I have talked and you're like, you know, this is the place you need to be. But today we're going to talk about negative entity attachments. And I have heard some really wild stories that I want you to kind of confirm and say, listen, here's what's going on. But also, and I wanted to preface, you guys have just listened to the last couple episodes was the one I re-aired with Christina on the Appalachian Mountains. And then also with Kimo the Light Seer. And Kimo was the latest one. And he did talk about emotions that you can actually feel, like he can feel them when he's like walking down a lane or the woods or a street. He can feel the emotion of anger or resentment or fear or whatever, or happiness. And I was asking Christina, I was like, is that something that like floats in the air and just attaches it to somebody? Is that like a, you know, a negative situation where maybe because you have alcoholism or whatever? I'm just going to hand the mic to Christina and she's going to explain this because I'm confused now.
Sure. This is a great topic. So as we all know, just in physics, you know, we've been taught in our science classes that energy never dies. It just changes forms, right?
Right.
So with that said, you know, what happens to the energy of our emotions? What happens to the energy of when we're really upset or mad about something?
Right.
So for those of us who identify as very sensitive people, if you feel like you have the ability to pick up energy, I'll give you an example and even like in a little experiment that you can try going forward.
Okay.
If you've ever been in like Walmart or grocery store and you're minding your business, you're going through your grocery list and you walk past somebody in an aisleway and all of a sudden get a whiff of almost like anger washing over you. Very often it's because that person is experiencing those emotions and you have clairsentiently picked up on the energy of that person and their emotions and what they're feeling.
That totally makes sense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So big emotions like that, especially the denser emotions, often will kind of hang in the air like that. And our auric field, our energy field, extends outwards of our body, upwards of several feet, sometimes several inches. But basically, think of your aura as being like an energetic sponge, a little feeler that kind of feels around in your external environment. This is why when certain folks that are not so nice enter into our space, and we feel that feeling of being watched without having to turn around. Often it's because our auric field is picking up on the people that have entered into the same room with us. And we are energetically feeling those things prior to even, you know, allowing our physical senses to pick up on those things.
Oh, it totally makes sense. Okay, so that's incredible because my thing is, you know, when I'm down or when I'm, you know, tired or whatever it is, I can honestly just rethink my thoughts and I'm suddenly better. But I wonder if you have some kind of attachment or some kind of, if they attach because there's unresolved issues in your world or your life, right? And so you hold on to them and then you kind of have a relationship with them. Is that kind of how it works?
So my feeling and my own experience with attachments. So number one, for sentient attachments, I don't specifically believe in demons, especially the way that the church talks about demons.
Right.
I think that that's completely fictitious and made up.
Right.
Now, are there lower vibrational entities that could be likened to that? Absolutely.
Right.
But I don't believe that there is a specific entity that sole purpose is to drag your soul to hell. I don't think that that exists. Yes. But my understanding, though, about attachments, number one, you have to work really hard to vibrate at a very low frequency for a prolonged period of time to even have an attachment. Mm-hmm. Now, attachments can come from trauma. If right. we have had specific prolonged abuse that we've been exposed to for a period of time, this could be what kind of beckons and calls an attachment to us. Mm-hmm. But think of it like your body, your energy is a magnet, and those attachments look for that same type of energy in order to be able to lock in and attach to. Mm. So if you are not vibrating at that same frequency, at that same low, you know, vibration, then very often those attachments are going to repel off of our energy field and just stay away from us in general, because that's not the meal that they want.
Right, right.
They want a meal of a lower vibrational energy to be able to kind of feast on once they attach to your energy.
So it sounds like it's pretty darn rare. I mean, it's not like it's going to happen to everybody. And just because you're depressed, you've got an entity or whatever, right?
Right, right. And that's something that I want to preface this conversation to by saying that just because you're feeling depressed, just because you're feeling, you know, quote unquote, low vibrational, doesn't mean that you are going to that same day attract a low vibrational entity. I'm talking about months, years of prolonged either abuse, you know, drug, you know, use or addiction, whatever the case may be, you have to be in that specific state of mind for a prolonged period of time.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. What is it? Like, what are they? Are they just something that's always present in our atmosphere? Is it, you know what I mean? In our reality, what is that?
So I think that lower vibrational entities are exclusive to Earth specifically. Okay. At least in my experience, I think that, you know, when we come to Earth, we want that duality. We want that contrast in terms of, you know, we don't just want to have a rainbows and butterflies experience. We want excitement. We want learning and lessons. So how do you accomplish that? You accomplish that by having these different, quote unquote, negative experiences. But very often, because the Earth plane is a 3D plane, there are energies that are attached to the Earth. There are energies that perhaps are fractals of, let's say, trauma.
Yeah.
More often than not, when I see things that are attachments, it's because of some sort of trauma someone has experienced for a prolonged period of time. And sometimes that energy isn't a sentient energy that is like, ooh, let me go attach to this person. Often that attachment could be almost like a representation of that lower emotion or abuse that person has experienced. That's another thing.
Yes. Now, I know recently you were contacted by, I call her a celebrity. I think she'd be a celebrity. And she asked you about a curse that she believed was put on her. So can you talk about that?
Yes. So I will say, just prefacing this conversation, I'm going to keep the celebrity's information private just because I want to protect her privacy.
Sure.
But I was reached out to by a celebrity. This person has a documentary out. And we'll reference specifically what the documentary is. But basically, she references in the documentary that she was experiencing some prolonged abuse and that there was a hex placed on her by the perpetrator of that abuse.
Right.
So this person was very concerned about whether or not this hex could be removed, because this person felt like a lot of bad luck essentially has followed her around since that hex was placed on her. So let me just go on record first and foremost by saying I'm more of like a chaos slash hedge witch, as they call ourselves. You know, I don't specifically, you know, subscribe to a specific practice in terms of witchcraft, but I do tend to lean into those avenues in terms of practicing witchcraft.
Okay.
Now, what I've learned about hexes and baneful magic over the years is that, number one, those things are only as good as the person that casts them.
Okay.
So if that person, let's say, passes away or is in spirit now, doesn't necessarily mean that that curse or hex is done, but it does mean that the energy that's being pumped into that quote unquote, you know, baneful magic is no longer there from that person and the caster's end.
Okay.
So think of it like a power line, you know, and a power cord in your house. You know, you have to have that cord plugged in order for, you know, the device to work. Similarly with hexes, you have to continuously pour baneful energy into that hex in order for that hex to reach your target, right?
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Another thing that's interesting about this particular circumstance is this celebrity was hexed by a person that she lives with or that she lived with in the past tense. So in witchcraft, it's talked about that you never hex someone that you live with because that could hurt you, literally. Okay. In hexes, they usually go after the place that you live. They're trying to break down where you live. They're trying to take away your shelter. They're trying to take away your finances, give you bad luck in these different, you know, capacities. Right. So you never send that energy to the same place in which you dwell because it could come to you and backfire, basically. Okay. So there is, you know, an argument to be made that did that hex basically boomerang and backfire back to the person that cast it on that celebrity?
Oh, absolutely. No, because they're no longer with us. So when you talked to her, did you ease her mind? Were you able to tell her this has no validity and you don't have to worry about it and it only is in control of you if you think it is, kind of thing?
Yes, that's exactly what we talked about. Okay. I talked about how it's time for this person to take their power back, in every step that they're taking in this new journey of their life, that they need to let go of the past and step into their power. Let go of, you know, the hex that was put on them previously, because that person isn't here in the physical anymore.
And you know, how scary though, that you think someone's cursed you and you kind of believe it. And then you think, okay, all this bad luck is happening because I've been cursed. And then that person who cursed you is no longer with us. And then you're like, wait a minute, do I need to worry about it? And now what an ease of mind you gave her, because, and you know, I know you just gave her your information. You didn't try to get anything out of it, which I love from you. So, but how did she feel afterward? Did you talk to her?
She seemed very much so put to ease, I guess I should say. Yeah. She seemed much more relaxed. And basically I told her, you know, take your power back. Yeah. All you have to do is just have a beautiful life from this point forward.
Right.
Take your power back. Do good in this world, and that's it. That's all you got to do. Right. And this person said, I'm really appreciative, basically, of, you know, the information that you shared. I'm going to take that advice.
Nice. Well, you know, the good that you're doing, you know, with anyone, even on my podcast, I've had people email me saying, I'm telling you, the conversation you and Christina have, the conversations you have, has really helped me. And here's X, Y, X, Y of why, you know? And I love that because, you know, like I said to so many of you guys, I'm here to spread awareness. And if I can make you feel good or better about a situation, I'm dang sure going to try. And Christina is one of the best ones to do that with. So now, Christina, I know you just gained a new modality and you're now a certified hypnotist. Tell me more about it. Can you tell me any stories about it too?
Yes. So I just recently took, so you all know Abby Eisminger.
Yes.
She's been a guest on Leslie's show.
Yes.
I took Abby's mentorship program for past life regression, quantum healing, and I have started doing past life regressions and higher self hypnosis just in the last probably 3 or 4 months now.
Yes.
It's been amazing. Thinking about a story. So just, you know, I won't obviously use specifics to protect of my clients,
yeah,
but I want to do preface this conversation by saying that the stories that I do share, I do have permission to share these stories.
Yeah.
So I did a session recently with a client who regressed back to a life where she was in what they knew then was Charlestown, South Carolina.
Nice. Okay.
But it's Charleston now.
Okay.
She was an early colonist within the Charlestown colony, and she had migrated from England with her brother and her parents.
Mm.
And they had kind of been through it in England, so they did not really want to have a ton to do with people, from what she said. They moved way out into the rural portions of South Carolina and were just living their life. And, you know, as you know, the Revolutionary War was kind of kicking up during this particular time period in the 1700s. Yeah. So basically what happened, she was very close to her brother. Her brother was like her hero. And her brother was much older. She was a little girl. Her brother was probably in his late teens, early 20s from the feeling that we got.
Yeah.
The British Redcoats all of a sudden came one day pounding on their door and had mistaken her brother for a spy with the rebellion.
Oh, wow.
And they basically charged them with treason and executed everyone in the front yard. They hung everyone in the front yard.
Oh, my gosh.
But before that happened, my client, who was a little girl, I think she said she was either 9 or 10 years old. She basically cursed each of those soldiers. She said, "You're going to remember my face for forever."
Speaking of curses, right?
Yeah. And one of them did. She scared him bad enough to where he remembered her, if I remember correctly, on his deathbed.
Wow.
Now, do you think that these hypnosis sessions, I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you just for someone who is interested and maybe would love some healing, because I'm going to ask, are these healing? Do these close wounds? Do these give people closure?
Oh, yes. Okay. So it's interesting, the trauma energetically that we will carry with us throughout different lifetimes. Yes. For that particular client, she had carried the trauma from that hanging into this particular life. She's had neck pain for years and years and years. So it's interesting. I'm going to check back in with her this week. So I should have a bit of an update this week as to how she's doing. But from what her higher self said, we healed the neck issue that she had.
Wow. And you know, this is another thing. People are like, you know, I just wanted to go in and maybe quit smoking or whatever. Can you do those things too? Or do they have to agree to quit and then it kind of works? How does that stuff work?
So I think that, you know, like what we were taught in our class, all healing that takes place is partially self-healing. You know, you have to want it.
Okay.
You know, you can't just jump into a session and say, I really want to quit smoking, but I have no intention of doing so. So let's, you know, do this session so that magically one day I, you know, wake up and I don't want cigarettes. That's part of it. You know, it will help with the cravings of the cigarettes. Okay. But if you don't want to quit smoking, then you're not going to quit smoking until you're ready to.
Wow. Okay. See, that's the kicker, guys. You know, you have to kind of be on board with it too. And a lot of people are like, this is my last straw. Can you, you know, change in my subconscious? And I think like what Christina said, she can certainly suggest to your subconscious, but you have to take ownership of it, guys. Yeah.
Right. What's interesting is listening to some people's higher selves talk. The higher self just recently in a session said, I want to say so much, but she won't let me say all of it. Oh. And the higher self literally started to cry. And I said, well, why won't she let you say it? Because she's so stubborn. So a lot of times our waking mind will block our higher self from being able to do healings on us, receive messages. And it just depends on our level of stubbornness in terms of how much we want to change, how much we're willing to acknowledge in those particular points. So when that happens, I usually ask the higher self, does my client need to do something and us repeat this session? And, you know, in that particular instance, her higher self said, tell her to do some shadow work and come back in a month. She should feel differently if she does the shadow work.
Oh, wow. Well, explain to my listeners what shadow work is then.
Yes. So shadow work is basically the study of who you are. The parts that you don't often share with people is usually shadow work. Why we behave in the ways that we behave, why we have the patterns that we have. So like some of y'all are probably like, well, what the heck do you mean? So for instance, I did some shadow work last night and basically what it was triggered from was when I was editing some videos to make some content, basically to show people, you know, these different past life regressions, I was having to watch myself do these regressions and lead people through the regressions. And in certain points, I could see that I had a double chin in my video. And this was really making me feel some kind of way about my self-image. So when I went into meditation later last night, I asked my guides, okay, let's get to the bottom of why I feel some kind of way about, you know, having a double chin, looking like I have extra weight on me. And when I started journaling about it, my guide said, okay, think back to when you really first started becoming aware of your body image. Think about the first time that you felt negatively about your body image. And it flashed me back to a memory when I was in first grade. My mother had let me go play outside and a neighbor girl that was a couple years older than me had come over and put makeup on my face. And she had given me one of her spaghetti strap shirts to wear. And I was so excited. I ran inside. I told my mom, I said, Mom, look what Erin did. Erin was my neighbor.
Yeah.
And my mom was so angry. She said, look at you. You look overweight. This shirt isn't for you. We need to change this. Let's take the makeup off your face. You look ridiculous. And I felt so little and small in that moment. And like I had done something wrong.
Right.
So fast forward through life, my mother starts putting a scale in the kitchen for me to weigh myself before I eat.
And oh my gosh, Christine, some of the things you tell me, I have to interrupt you, because you were raised in a very evangelical house, and some of the things that they made you do or did to you, I'm sorry, it's just so bad. And I feel so bad. I don't even know every story. And every time I hear them, I just want to cry for you. This is terrible. Putting, you have to weigh in before you eat. What?
Right. Now, this didn't happen for very long, because by the time this started, I had enough awareness as a young teen that this is very unhealthy behavior.
Right.
And I remember rejecting, like, after a couple of times of having to be weighed before eating, I said, I'm not doing that. I'm okay to eat.
Wow.
But as we could see through that, the process of shadow work is to look back on basically instances where our parents have traumatized us, or where they have imposed their own viewpoints on us, and that changed the way we thought about ourselves.
Right.
So being able to recognize those things, we can undo that damage, undo that trauma, have a bit of additional perspective on it. Because looking on that, my mother was also raised by a very petite and very both, you know, appearance focused, and I would imagine, you know, a very particular woman who did not live to be very old. She passed away when she was 35.
Wow.
So, yeah. So my mom only knew, you know, what she was being taught.
Sure.
And I think she was probably concerned that I might start to become overweight, and that, you know, triggered her. So her own, you know, not healing herself trickled down to me. And now here I am, almost in my 40s, just now starting to decompress some of the things that, you know, had been done. But that's basically what shadow work is. Wow. You dive into the ickiest parts of your past.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And, you know, first of all, you're a beautiful woman. Guys, she's in great shape, runs all the time. I don't run all the time. She runs all the time on a treadmill. She's always doing something physical. And I'm like, you're making me feel bad. And she's not trying to. So let me preface that first. So the fact that you have any kind of self-image issue at all is, I'm what? But you make a good point about shadow work and working on yourself, because there's so many things that we just kind of tell ourselves. We don't even realize we're saying negative things to our body. And you know what? Our subconscious takes everything literally, like every time.
Right. Exactly. Another life that I just recently regressed someone to just this past weekend, this particular client was struggling with abandonment. Mm. She couldn't figure out really why she had these feelings of abandonment.
Gotcha.
And so when we took her back, we regressed her back to, she was literally a Neanderthal.
Oh, wow.
And she was with her brother. Her brother was older.
Mm.
And she lived in a cave with her brother. And what she basically started noticing was she was kind of passive in that life. She let her brother hunt. She let her brother take care of the two of them. Mm-hmm. But she didn't contribute a lot.
Okay.
So when we got her basically, you know, towards the end of that life, her brother went for a hunt and did not come back. It mm-hmm. took him, you know, by the time she made it to her death day, he had been gone for a month and she had not eaten in a week.
Oh.
She knew how to hunt just from watching her brother, but she had this aversion almost of going to hunt for herself. So on her death day, you know, in these regressions, you go through three important days, and the third day is usually the day where you pass away.
Mm.
So on her death day, she's in the cave. She's really upset because she doesn't know where her brother is still. And there's a large saber-toothed tiger outside of her cave.
Yeah.
And she knows that the saber tooth is trying to get into the cave and get to her. There's mm-hmm. a fire in the center of her cave.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her, you know, what are you going to do? And she said, I'm deciding whether or not I let him come in here and get me, or whether or not I starve. And so I asked her, what did you decide? And she kind of fast forwarded a little bit to where she was watching from the perspective of an observer as her body was being attacked by that saber-toothed tiger.
Oh, wow.
She was able to pull herself to the back of the cave, and she passed within seconds. You know, as she was talking to me, she was still in her body. And then all of a sudden she said, I see my brother. he's smiling at me. He looks healthy and it's warm and I feel so much better than I did. And I had a suspicion that she had died, but I needed her to say it. So I said, you know, what just happened?
Yeah.
And she said, I think I moved on. So when we took her over to the other side and we asked her higher self and her spirit guides, what exactly was happening there? What trauma did she carry in this life? They said the trauma of abandonment had followed her from that life and into every single life subsequently thereafter.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So what do you do to help people though, Christina? Do you have them, like you said, shadow work? Does that help generational too, if they can overcome this? And what tools do you give them?
I think, you know, parts of this is healing that you have to do on your own, just like what we said. You got to do some shadow work. And in shadow work, just like what you said, you can heal some generational stuff as well, just like what I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, getting to the root of my mom's weight fixation.
Yeah.
Very likely that was imposed on her by her own mother.
Right.
And, you know, subsequently thereafter, my great-grandmother probably imposed that on my grandmother.
Right.
So you heal generational cycles once you get a little bit of clarity as to why people were behaving and, you know, imposing certain things on you. Mm-hmm. But we can also ask the higher self, can we remove the trauma of abandonment from this life and the life she's living currently so that she doesn't feel, you know, like she has to basically be attached to someone, you know,
right.
You know, that she could be independent. And the higher self said, absolutely. We did so much healing in that session that my client woke up soaked in sweat.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, I was so impressed with Abby's work, and then you kind of got to know Abby too, and you were really impressed with her work too. So you took her class. And it's amazing. You get so excited before you start these because you just don't know what you're going to get. And it's almost like I know now because you guys went with the Dolores Cannon's technique. And now I know why Dolores Cannon wrote so many dang books, because this is incredible work. And the fact that you got all these stories, why don't they make stories about this, right? Why can't we make movies about this kind of stuff? I don't know. Maybe not the saber-toothed tiger, but you know,
And I should make a preface here in that, so Dolores Cannon taught QHHT, which is quantum healing technique hypnosis.
Yes.
Abby teaches a combination of different types of techniques. Okay. So if there's any Dolores Cannon followers out there thinking that Abby is teaching QHHT, she is not, just to put that out there.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, they make you sign affidavits and all kinds of stuff if you take QHHT.
I was under the impression it was hers too. I'm sorry. I didn't even know that. Okay, that's helpful to me. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, it's just like little, she's taken bits and pieces from things and kind of made it her own.
Sure.
But yeah, this is really, I can definitely see why there's been so many books written, because every time you do a session, you have no idea where you're going to go.
Yeah.
Are you going to go forward in time into the future? Are you going to go into the past? Are you going to go to a different planet? Are you going to go into the ethers, like into a different dimension that we have never heard about? There's endless amounts of possibilities, and it's like going on an adventure every single time.
Well, and it's funny because I know that every single hypnosis session is almost like a fingerprint for everyone. Like my experience was very, I was very aware. I think other people's experiences are, sorry, I fell asleep, you know?
Right, exactly. That's how it was for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you don't remember any of it. And then you listen back and you're like, what the heck? You know, but I remember every single thing I said to her. I remember everything.
Yeah. So,
Christina, I know you have to go. So tell everyone where they can find you and all of your social medias, everything.
Yes. So my website is ChristinaTheMedium.com. You can find me on TikTok. My handle is ChristinaTheMedium. Also on Instagram, my handle is ChristinaTheMedium there too.
Awesome. You are such a good friend of mine and I adore you. And thank you for being my first interview at the new house. And I tell you, you're going to be back, guys. She's going to be back. She's a regular. And I'll add all of Christina's information on my show notes. Go check her out. She books up pretty fast. So if you want a session with her, do it now. Sometimes she'll run specials as well. Like I said, I'll put all of her information on my show notes. And Christina, thank you so much for being on my show again.
Thank you, Leslie.
Well, I love providing because I want to know at no cost. So if you like what you heard, please leave me a 5-star review, or you can just buy me a cup of coffee. It's kind of like a Patreon, but you don't have a monthly subscription and you can give whatever you feel led to give. I am a one-woman show and I do all of my scheduling and my interviewing and my editing. So just know your support is so greatly appreciated. And one more thing, I am a paranormal romance novelist and you can find all of my books on Amazon. Just look up my name. I'm very easy to find. Thank you guys again and I will see you next week.